Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 13, the Dynasty of Maharaj Nimi, text number 7 and 8. So I'll read 7 by myself, because 8 has a purport. We'll read that one together. Gandavastu sutadeham nidhaya munis satama samate satra yagecha devan uchu samagatam. Translation: during the performance of the yajna, the body relinquished by Maharaj Nimi was preserved in fragrant substances, and at the end of the Kshatra Yuga, the great saints and brahmanas made the following requests to all the demigods assembled there. Usually we see it as satya. Here is a sutra. Interesting. Okay, this is text 8. Ragyo jivatu deho yam prasana prabhavo yadi tateti ukte nimi praha ma bun me deha bandhanam ragyo jivatu deho yam prasana prabhavo yadi tateyukte nimi praha mabunme deha bandhanam ragyo jivatu deho yam prasana prabhavo yadi tateyukte nimi praha mabun me deha bandhanam ragyo jivatu deho yam prasana prabhavo yadi tateyukte nimi praha mabun me deha bandhanam. Montages. quantities. Ragya of the king, Jivatu may again be enlivened. Deya Ayam, this body now preserved. Prasanna, very much pleased. Prabhava, all able to do it. Yadi, if. Tata, let it be so. Iti, thus. Ukte, when it was replied by the demigods. Nimi, Maharaj Nimi. Praha, said. Mahabur, do not do it. May, my. Deyabandhanam, imprisonment. Imprisonment again in the material body. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki. If you are satisfied with this sacrifice, and if you are actually able to do so, kindly bring Maharaj Nimi back to life in this body. The demigod said yes to this request by the sages, but Maharaj Nimi said, please, do not imprison me again in a material body. Interesting. He came back to life. It's like that story of the Harshashoka, where he left his body as a young boy. And all the family members were so upset. But then was Angiri Rishi and Narada Muni came and said, why have you left your family at such an untimely? You're so young. Said, I'm bound to go by destiny. Now I'm going to somewhere else. So he came back to life. So this is interesting also. He came back to life and spoke. So here's the purport. The demigods are in a position many times higher than that of human beings. Therefore, although the great saints and sages were also powerful brahmanas, they requested the demigods to revive Maharaj Nimi's body, which had been preserved in various perfume balms. One should not think that the demigods are powerful only in enjoying the senses. They are also powerful in such deeds as bringing life back to a dead body. There are many similar instances in the Vedic literature. For example, according to the history of Savitri and Satyavan died and was being taken away by Yamaraj, but on the request of his wife, Savitri, Satyavan was revived in the same body. This is an important fact about the power of the demigods. Om Jnanatamanandasya. Jnananjana salakaya chakshum mulitam jena tasmai sri garave nama mukham kutuva chalam pungam langhaya tegarim. Yat kripa taraham vande shigarum dhinadharanam. Vachakapatribhyascha kripa sindhubdevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo nama. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Here, Maharaj Nimi, he's mentioning he doesn't want to be imprisoned again in a material body. Now, a lot of people in society would find that hard to understand, that we're imprisoned in the body. because they think the body is nice. Yeah. They pamper the body and they do so many things to make the body look nice and feel good, and they're very much into the body. So how is it a prison? Well, prison means that one's freedom is limited. So we're very limited, you know, in these bodies. You know, for instance, the body, it gets diseased, it gets old. Stop the body from getting old. Stop the body from getting diseased. There's fear, there's anxiety, there's so much distress. So in this way, the soul is it's imprisoned by the modes of material nature. So much anxiety, stress is the main disease in the world now. Fear. For centuries, there's one thing that people feared the most. Anybody know what it is? Huh? No. Huh? Speaking of public speaking, fear of public speaking. That's one thing. Anybody else? Death, yeah. Well, war. People are afraid of war. For centuries, people, because even now there's so much war going on. So people are afraid of war. But they did one statistic recently here in America. What were people most afraid of? Losing their cell phones. That's what people are mostly afraid of now, losing their cell phones. So there's so much anxiety in this world, in these bodies. But the nature of the soul is it's eternal. It doesn't want to die. It doesn't want to get old. Doesn't want to be in distress. It doesn't. So it's very it's imprisoned. And anybody that has a material body, this is like our prison suit. Yeah. In the spiritual world, they don't have material bodies. They're not in prison. They have spiritual bodies. But here we all have these material bodies. So this is our prison suit. But there are exceptions. For instance, Prabhupada came. Apparently it looked like he had a material body, but actually he had a spiritual body because he just used it in the service of Krishna. Then Krishna comes. He doesn't have a material body. Abhijaniti mam mudha. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. They do not know my supreme dominion over all that be. They don't know the actual position of Krishna. Actually, it's described that only a handful of people on the planet knew the position of Krishna when he was here. They just thought he was another person. Yeah. So Krishna comes. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavativar abhyutanam dharmasya tadatmanam sujamya. Whenever there's a predominant rise of irreligion, a decline in religious practice, he says, I descend. And this is the reason the Shaktivesh avatars come as well. So they have a mission to try to help the prisoners in this world become free of their prison life. And just like the prisons now, they're called correctional facilities. So that's the whole material world. It's a correctional facility. Anybody that has some intelligence will stop and say, why? Why am I suffering so much? Why do I have to die? Why do I have to get old? Why am I so restricted? And why are all these anxieties here? And he'll search. So Krishna comes, and the pure devotee comes for those people to try to help them out of this this prison life. It's not an easy thing to get out of this prison life. Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita how to get out of the prison life. Nirmana moha jita sangadosha adhyatma nitya vinivrittikam dvandvara mukta sukutuka sangya gachanchimura param avyamta. He says, one who is free of false ego, that's a tough one. Just to get free of the false ego, that I'm this body, that I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm this, I'm, I'm that. Yeah, it's difficult to get out of this illusion and enter into our real understanding, the real ego, that we're the eternal servants of Krishna. Nirmana moha. Moha means illusion. Of course, this is related to the false ego. This illusion, I'm the enjoyer, I'm the proprietor of all that I have. So, nirmana moha jita sangha dosha, to give up bad association. Srila Prabhupada, he said he came to create these temples where people could come and they can associate with devotees. Because if you're not associating with the devotees, you can associate with non-devotees. We're all social beings. You have to associate with someone. So we associate with devotees and we try to serve the devotees, associate with the devotees, try to hear and chant about Krishna and the association of devotees. Satang prasangang mamavirya sangvano bhavanti ritkarna masayana vita. Devotees of the Lord, they derive great happiness hearing about Krishna in the association of other devotees. And this is very, very pleasing to the ear and the heart. And by this association, one becomes liberated. One gains a taste for Krishna consciousness. And ultimately, one attains love for Krishna just by this association of devotees. So it's very important that we avoid the non-devotees association. Of course, we go out and we give Krishna to others. We're trying to help Prabhupada. We're trying to help Krishna. We're their assistance in trying to spread this mission. But we don't accept association. You have to be careful about that. Sometimes devotees have done that. There was one devotee distributing books, and he met one lady. She was interested in Krishna consciousness, and she said, "Well, if I have any questions, can I contact you?" I said, "Yeah." So I gave her the email, and they were contacting, keeping in touch. And then after a couple of years, he ended up marrying her. So, and she wasn't a devotee. So he left Krishna consciousness. So we have to be careful about who we associate with. We want to keep in contact with the devotees, keep in contact with Krishna, and then we get purified. Nirmana moha jita sangha dosha adhyatma nitya vinirutta kama. We have to learn about the nature of the soul, the eternal nature of the soul. This body, it's just a covering. It's just a covering of the soul. So we're eternal. And the more we practice Krishna consciousness, the more we'll understand this eternal nature of the soul, and eventually will become self-realized souls. We'll have a clear understanding of our spiritual nature as souls. But we just have to continue on, carry on, and not be discouraged. It's not an easy thing, this path. But even though we're in this path and we're imperfect in so many ways, just by being in this process, still we're experiencing so much joy. So we had this nice kirtan, devotees chanting. So nice, nice prasadam, nice association. So even though we're in this, in the process of trying to get purified, it's so nice. Adhyatma kama, and then becoming free of lust, another big challenge. Our greatest enemy. Kamesh, Krodesh, Rajaguna, Smud, Mahasana, Mahapapa, Vidyena, Mevaya. This is the greatest enemy of the living entity, this lust. So this lust is just a perverted reflection of our love for Krishna. So we're trying to become free of this contamination and develop this real affection, this affection, this love for Krishna. Big challenge. So Nirmana moha jitta sangadosha adhyatma nityavini vittakama dvandvara mukta sukadukka sangya gachanchimurha paramavyutta. To be free of dualities, happiness and distress, heat and cold. Just like now we're going through this hot period, very hot yesterday. We're all feeling it. So we didn't mind the water when it's hot. Right? The cool water we feel, it's refreshing. But now in a couple months, it's going to be cool. We're not going to want that cold water. We're going to want the hot water. But it's just water. Yeah. So according to the temperature outside, the water is either pleasing or displeasing. So it's dualities, happiness and distress. Yeah. Sometimes on book distribution, the book distributor will get a big donation. He'll be so happy. He'll be so joyful. One time a devotee started jumping. He was dancing in the airport. He got a big donation. He was jumping and dancing. So happy. And then when we get a small donation, someone gives us a few pennies. Distress. Was it Bhakti Kush says? No, we like change. We're trying to change the world. That's his line when they give change. It's okay, we like change. We're changing the world. So, whatever someone gives, if someone just gives a few cents, who knows how long it's been since they've given a donation to Krishna. Yeah. So we should appreciate it. Whatever they give. Just like that amazing incident of when Sadhu, he was going door to door, Madhukari and residents in one house, they saw that he was a beggar, so the husband told the wife, go and give him some ashes. He wants them to give him some ashes. And they gave him some ashes, and he was very detached. He said, oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. She said, why are you thanking me? I just gave you ashes. He said, because you began the process of giving. At least something, you know. So someone gives anything, then it's very, we should appreciate it. Yeah. So dvandvara mukta sukha dukkha sangya gacchanchimurha paramavyam tat. Who was free of the what is it? Nirmana moha jitta sangha dosha adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama dvandvara mukta sukha dukkha sangya gacchanchimurha, who is unbewildered, who unbewildered knows how to surrender to the Supreme. Such a person becomes free of prison life. So we have to learn how to surrender to Krishna. And Prabhupada is so systematically explaining to us how to surrender to Krishna. He said, I've given everything in my books to give you the direction on going back to Godhead. So we're so fortunate. We just have to follow these instructions. So here, he mentions King Nimi. He says, I don't want another material body. And in the summary, Prabhupada says that he didn't want a material body because the material body is obnoxious. It's disgusting. This is the material body. It's actually obnoxious. Yeah, it's not a nice body. And Prabhupada many times he would tell the story of one prince who was going through one village, and he saw this very beautiful lady, and he approached her. He wanted to marry her. And she was a saintly lady. He said, no. Thank you, but no thank you. I'm not interested. She just wanted to serve Krishna. But again, this prince, he saw her, and he proposed to her. No, thank you. Not interested. I just want to serve Krishna. And then somehow he saw her again, and he became madly in love / lust with her. And he wanted to marry her. She says, and then finally said, okay, come back in 1 week. And he was so happy. All right, I'm going to marry this beautiful lady. He was so happy. Sukha-dukha, happiness and distress. He was lamenting. He couldn't get her. Now he's so happy he's going to marry this beautiful lady. So she was a special lady, a very devoted lady, and she knew how to send out messages. So she took these purgatives, and she passed a lot of stool and urine, vomited, and kept it in these buckets. And then when he came a week later, she answered the door, and he said, "I'm here to see this very beautiful lady that I'm going to marry. Please, can you bring her to the door?" And she said, "Well, actually, that's me." "No, no, no. No, you're dreaming. You want to marry me." "No, no, no, I don't want to marry. I want to marry the lady that's inside. Can you bring her here?" "No, you don't understand. That's me. I'm the same person you wanted to marry." I said, what do you mean?" He said, "Let me show you the source of my beauty." So took him in the back room there and had all the ingredients there. And he saw that and he was, "Oh my God, this is disgusting, but interesting." So he got the message. You know, this is the material body. It's not nice. It appears to be nice, but it's not nice. It's like I remember in Miami, there was one accident. It was the worst accident in the history of Miami. One car was in the highway and it went in the opposite direction on the highway, and just, it was a big, huge crash. And there was one lady in her sports car there. Somehow her face didn't get touched, but the rest of her body was just torn asunder, just ripped open. And the policemen, a couple of policemen got there first, and one of them just vomited upon seeing her body just ripped open. And the next day he quit his job. It was just too much. But the face of the lady was very attractive. But just, then he saw the reality of what this body is. You know. It's not attractive. Just like they have the saying that the beauty is skin deep. You just go beyond the skin. Not so nice. You know. But Maya is so expert, make it look very attractive. But what is attractive is the soul and Krishna. Of course, Krishna is the most attractive. Nothing is more attractive than Krishna. Therefore, he's the reservoir of all beauty. He's so beautiful. It's described that there's eight parts of Krishna's body that resemble the lotus flower. Two eyes, two hands, two feet, the navel. Anybody know the last one? The face, yes. So it's so beautiful. We can't imagine how beautiful he is. And it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishna is so beautiful. He's inconceivably beautiful. But when he sees the beauty of Srimati Radharani, his beauty increases. Inconceivably. And Radharani also, she's the most beautiful. She's the most beautiful goddess of fortune. She's so beautiful, we can't conceive of how beautiful. We get an idea looking here. But when she sees the beauty of Krishna, her beauty increases. And then Krishna sees her beauty, and this is going on unlimitedly. Their beauty is increasing. This is the nature of spirit. And the more we connect with Krishna, the more we become beautiful. Just like generally elderly people, they're not very attractive. They're not very beautiful. When you get old, you know, 70 years old, 80 years old. But Prabhupada was so beautiful. Thousands of pictures, tens of thousands of pictures. He's so beautiful. He glowed because of his Krishna consciousness. So beautiful. It's described that one time the gopis, they were in rasa dance with Krishna. And Krishna left, and they were lamenting. There's also spiritual lamentation. That's actually good. Prabhupada said, even with ourselves, he said, lamentation means purification. You're lamenting, oh, it's so hard to advance. I'm trying so hard. It's so difficult. Please, Krishna, help me. So that lamentation is purification. That's good. So the gopis are looking for Krishna. He's left them. Beautiful Krishna. They're looking everywhere for Krishna. So Krishna wanted to play a joke on them. So he manifests this Narayan form. So they're looking for Krishna. They see the Narayan. And they pay obeisances. And, oh, please accept my obeisances, Lord Narayan. Have you seen Krishna anywhere around here? No, I haven't seen him. So they just go on. You know, so many yogis are trying to see Narayan. He's also very beautiful. Very attractive. He's God. But the gopis are like, okay, thank you, and then just go on looking for Krishna. Right. But then, when Radharani came, she's in the back, you know, she's humble. She's in the back of them. When Narayan saw Radharani, because she has so much affection, so much desire to see Krishna, please Krishna, serve Krishna, he couldn't keep his Narayan form. He had to manifest his Krishna form because her devotion is just so unlimitedly great. So Krishna came out again. And it's described that there's four things that aren't there in Lord Narayan. His beauty, his devotees, his flute, and what else? His pastimes, yes. So these are there not even in Narayan. So everything about Krishna is so beautiful. His speech, his flute. Krishna's the best musician. Sometimes when I'm distributing books, I show people a picture of Krishna. And I ask them, have you ever heard of Krishna? Yeah, I've heard of him. I tell them, yes, he's the best musician. He plays the flute better than everybody. So Krishna, everything about Krishna is beautiful. It's described that there's also 24 and a half parts of Krishna's body that resemble the moon. That's his fingernails, his toenails, his face again. Imagine how beautiful his face resembles the moon also. The sandalwood on his forehead. His two cheeks, they resemble moons. And the forehead is the half a moon. So 24 and a half parts of Krishna's body resemble the moon. Very attractive. Can't even come close to understanding how beautiful Krishna is. But when we actually taste the beauty of Krishna by engaging in devotional service, then we'll no longer be attracted to the so-called pleasures of this world. It'll just be, Prabhupada said, eventually we'll just become disgusted with the whole idea of sense gratification. Therefore, Jamunacharya, he says, Yadavadhi mamacheta Krishna padaravinde never never rested dham yantim rantim asi tadavadhi batanari sangame smayamane bhavati mukhavikara sishtunishtivanamcha. He says, since I've been engaged in the devotional service of Krishna, this beautiful service of Krishna, experiencing ever fresh pleasure at every moment, whenever I think of this sense gratification in the form of sex life, this is the main attraction in the material world, my lips curl in distaste and I spit at the thought. Yeah. So this is very elevated. And he was a prince, actually. Before he became the great Acharya, Jamunacharya, he was a prince. So you can imagine how much sense gratification he had. But that's nothing compared to the pleasure one experiences in devotional service. So this devotional service, we got to serve Maya or we got to serve Krishna. Right? So we serve Krishna and we become purified. We become happy. We serve Maya, we become disappointed. Without exception, always disappointment. So, on that note, is there any question? or comments. The microphone's coming. Well, there's one other thing. When the microphone's coming, the wall is coming. I read something. Prabhupada says, we can see the beauty of Krishna with the eye of the pure soul. We can see the beauty of Krishna with the eye of the pure soul. So therefore, we're always aspiring to get purified. Then we can see the beauty of Krishna. As long as we're not pure, we can't appreciate the beauty of Krishna. Although there is one instance where Krishna was fighting with some demon. And the demon, upon seeing Krishna, he said, wow, this enemy of mine is so attractive. So even the enemies, the demons are sometimes attractive. So yes, Prabhu, Dr. Storm, what's the question?
Thank you very much for a nice class, Prabhu. I was just wondering if you could explain to me a little bit more what you meant when you said lamentation means purification. Lamentation means purification. I didn't really understand it so much.
Well, lamentation means purification. Well, we're trying to become devotees, right? And we have our, let's say, our bad moments where we're struggling to advance in Krishna consciousness. And in that struggling to be Krishna conscious, we may be a little discouraged. Yeah. It's so hard. But if one is determined to continue, that lamentation is actually good because it gives impetus to continue on. Now, some devotees, they lament so much they just leave. That's too hard. I can't do this. It's too difficult. But if we remain with the determination to become Krishna conscious, and at the same time we're lamenting, I'm so fallen. How is it possible? So this is good. Krishna helps us. Because Krishna's seeing that this person really wants to be a devotee. And he's lamenting. So this is actually, it's purifying. And it actually, it's humility also. We're lamenting that we can't get closer to Krishna. We can't surrender to Krishna. So it's a sign of humility. But if we lament too much, it can also be ignorance. And therefore, sometimes devotees leave. So we have to retain that determination to be Krishna conscious. And it's possible. Krishna says, Vitaraga bhaya krodha manmaya mama pashata bhavo jnana tapasa putamad bhavama. He says, being free from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me, many, many persons in the past have become purified by knowledge of me. And thus they've attained me. So Krishna's encouraging us there. Many, 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 millions of people in the past have attained me by this process. So we shouldn't lament too much. We also have to have that determination to continue on. But some is good. Okay? Any other question or comment? Yes, Bhakta Eric.
Thank you, Prabhu. I was just wondering, if you could explain a little bit more about how Krishna has four extra qualities beyond Narayan. So I was wondering, how can you say that Narayan has no beauty or no devotees or no?
Good question. Well, the devotees in Vaikuntha, he has wonderful devotees, but it's all in awe and reverence. There's no intimate friendship. Like in Vrindavan, sometimes Krishna, he's wrestling with the cowherd boys and they jump on his back and it's much, 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 much more intimate. They think that Krishna is just an equal. And it's described, Prabhupada says, that the highest manifestation of Krishna's greatness is when he thinks himself equal to his devotees. The highest manifestation. Here's God, the Supreme Lord, playing with his devotees. So there's no pride there. He wants to associate with his devotees in a very intimate way. Yeah. Beautiful. And, yeah, Narayan, he doesn't play the flute. Yeah. Krishna's the best. And that flute causes a lot of anxiety to the gopis. They're envious of the flute even, because the flute gets to touch the lips of Krishna. So this flute is, all the music and throughout all the creation is just a perverted reflection of the flute playing of Krishna. Yeah. We can't imagine how beautiful the sound of that flute is. So his beauty, his wealth, no, what is it? His beauty, his devotees, his pastimes, his wonderful pastimes also. There's this unbelievable pastimes that Krishna has, beautiful pastimes. Again, because there's no awe and reverence. In Narayan, there's awe and reverence. So he doesn't have those sweet pastimes that are there in Goloka Vrindavan.
Quality? The quality of those four extra features. It's not that
it's intimacy.
Have them, but it's just a different...
It's intimacy. That's the main quality of these four that aren't there in Narayana. It's just intimacy. Yeah. Much more intimate. Okay, anything else? Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.